WBDGFM HD1, Indianapolis.
You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
Going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will you let this be taken away from you? No,
sorry.
No way.
You must go seize the moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
And welcome to Inside Ben Davis Football, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elijah Ennis, your host here, with Garrett Burkle and our head coach for the Ben Davis Giants, Coach Russ Mann. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
How about you,
doing
coach?
Doing well. Bad practice today.
Not bad practice. So, Coach, we wanted to go on and talk about, well, last week game against Avon. Great game. Well, blowout game, 42-14. How do you feel after the game and how the team did on your opinions?
The score, it looks 42-14, where many would call it blowout, and we did get to a running clock. But there was a moment there in the second quarter where it was 28-7, and Avon had the ball looking to score. And if they would have scored there, it would have been 28-14 going into half, and it would have been a lot closer game. We may have not been able to get to a point where we would have got to a running clock. So, yes, we were able to get that final stop before the end of the first half and then score a few times earlier there in the third quarter. And then that did put it into a running clock mode. So, yeah, pretty happy with the way that we played. Pretty happy with the way that we have been able to jump out early offensively and get some scores in the first quarter. First week we had 21. Second week we had 14. So it's nice that the offense is coming out hot in both of our games so far.
Coach, your defense held a great quarterback to a subpar game, including throwing two interceptions. What worked for your defense on Friday?
The chaos they create, like right now, Coach Sumner has put in a defensive scheme that is it's very complicated to prepare for, but it is it gives us multiple fronts, multiple schemes, multiple blitzes, but it's very simple for our players verbally. So the verbiage for our defense is relatively simple, and the names give a quick little meaning to the players where they're supposed to align and give complicated schemes. Multiple things are happening with just a one-word call, therefore creating chaos for defenses or for offenses. And so our defense is looks chaotic, but is extremely organized. And Coach Sumner put a lot of work into that in January, February, this offseason, creating new verbiage. A playbook, it's brand new to himself too. Like, he's used and called different things in the years past, but our guys have done a nice job of owning it, learning it, and they're doing some different things routine wise. And I know that one thing that helped with them was another final walkthrough that they had before the game, just making sure that they're in the right place and they have the right call, all 11 people on the same page at the same time, and creating that chaos. I think we've almost have more interceptions than we did all last year. We caused a lot of incomplete passes last year, but we are causing a lot of turnovers. So let's go ahead and keep that going. That's always nice for us.
Coach, I want to go ahead and talk about a defensive player, in my opinion, that had a really good game that night. I want to talk about Yassine Falk. Great game for him. I mean, he had three pass deflections on very good possessions on all third downs, too. Any thoughts on his game and what he has improved on so far this season since the first two games?
Yassine has done a nice job of coming over to the defensive side and owning a position like the cornerback. He is he gives a lot of height at the position. He also gives a lot of ball skill at the position. So when that ball is in the air, he's so used to playing wide receiver that when he's now on the other side, it's probably awkward for him because he's used to having a defensive back inside a position of him that he has to kind of go over to go get a ball. Now he's actually free. You could just see it in his eyes. Like it's like he's running routes on air. When he first made the transition over to the defensive side, he was probably good for one interception of practice. And I'm surprised. I know you said three pass deflections. There are a few times where I thought there was just going to be interceptions because you see it as a walking interception right now. And he's given him, he's earned his right to, for a few more reps and a few more reps. And now it's like you just can't get Yacine off the field because Yacine is used to the offensive side. He has taken a lot of receiver reps. And he's one guy that's come over and just with a large senior class, very strong, very athletic, very fast. Somebody like that just says, hey, fine, I'm going to own a position somewhere. I want to find a starting job, and your team's done a nice job with that so far. Made us a better defense.
Well, Coach, Elijah Price had a play where he picked up a punt near the 5-yard line, and the Giants had the ball starting from their own two. The play calls were pass, pass, pass. What was kind of the idea behind that, you know, especially when a lot of people would say, and obviously it's true, that the Giants have one of the best run games in state?
Well, I'll tell you, it's the play that the punt going to the 2-yard line. If you listen to Coach Speaks, our special teams coordinator, has done a great job of putting in some schemes, and he dialed up that the onside kick that we got this past week. That one, he is losing his mind on our punt return team. He's asked a few times. I got one text the other night that said permission to run the Giant personnel after practice on Monday. He is not happy because we have a lot of good personnel in on that punt return that didn't it's like they kind of took the playoff, but they took the playoff, but like, oh, Coach Spinks is not very pleased with the men of that. So, like, getting us back on the 2-yard line, we should not have been there. We should have. We filled that punt. I can just hear offensive coordinators now talking about that's 3 first downs. You know, when that ball hit the turf and put us back at the 2-yard line, it changed a lot of the entirety of that game. Like, if we catch that punt, and even if we just coast into, and if we are going to coast and we coast into the score of halftime 28-0, that's a different game. But instead, I think it went pass. I think we may have run on third down, and Elijah almost didn't make it out of the end zone and got tossed at, like, the 2-yard line. Yeah. He got tossed around like, oh, he made it out. But he did get out of the end zone. But there were two slants, and they were both there. If Thomas is a little bit – Thomas and Zane can catch that all the time. Both of them slants. And there were two other receivers that could have possibly got it, but I think he picked the right side. Thomas picked the right side both times. Second one's a hair lower. Zane brings that in, and we're at second and four. And one of those are quick hitters, and we feel like a lot of our short passing game is a run. And, the third down was the third and long, but then we did run it where it was the opposite of what a lot of the defensive coordinators would think. So they were probably dialing up some potential pass rush, and hopefully we would catch them in something like that. We usually do, and we did earlier in the game on a third and 12. We gave it to Elijah that picked up 14 yards. So trying to go, be on the outside the box thinking there where any play, any time is that we could dial it up.
Coach, I want to add on to that question from Garrett. Was Galkowski was in any type of pressure, you feel like, between that 2-yard line mark? Because it seems like the whole offense was a bit off going to them back-to-back pass plays.
Yeah, like, I'll tell you, like, being back there, sometimes there's defenses that dial it up a hair too much and something breaks long. So, and I tell you, if we connect on one of those slants and that corner misses that tackle, Zane's got a 99-yard touchdown or 98-yard touchdown. And teams sometimes get a little bit too aggressive down there. And incomplete passes, they're good with me. Like, an incomplete pass, it might stop the clock, but at least it hit the turf. It didn't go to the other team. And turn it over there, at least being protective of the ball. He was throwing it low and inside, away from the corner. You sail that and give it to the corner and a free at least they get the ball on the 12-yard line, 9-yard line there, or it's a pick six. But he threw it safe, threw it low and out, away from the corner. So incomplete's fine with me there. And when we did punt the ball on that one, that was one of our two punt plays. AC boomed it. AC did a Coach Sumner coaches him up on a one-step punt. Coach Speaks had the protection right for us. We could have dialed something else up on that play, but we did a one-step punt, and AC got us out of that, and they fair caught it. We got to stop there then before half.
Coach, how cool was it to coach your first game as Giants head coach at Giants Stadium?
Good question, because I didn't soak that part in. I really didn't soak that in until probably about 25 minutes before kickoff. I was like, wait a minute, hold on, this is – that is the first time I've been coaching a game here at home. So, like, longer off season, maybe the scrimmage is, I think that maybe took a little of the novelty off of being a first home game. I had envisioned a few times working out with my daughters in the offseason, running the bleachers a few times. I was like, man, better come out hot against Avon or Pike. But this is a first few home games here where make sure that the honeymoon period of a new head coach, like the community trust, don't start off. These were thoughts that I was having when I was running, kind of looking around back at the home side. Man, could you imagine being down 14-0? Like, better not let that happen. So I just keep running it this offseason with my daughter. So like, about 25 minutes, 30 minutes before kickoffs, when I was like, hey, this is exactly what you were thinking about this summer. Better not start off down 14-0 in one of these games. So I did. I had completely forgotten all about it being the first home game. And so, but again, just that one moment, and then I forgot all about it again.
Coach, adding up to that question, I mean, big senior night. I mean, all the guys love playing in the night. We've seen some guys who played out there, you know, who brought out a lot of energy. Which guys did you think that was the most effectiveness that night?
Well, I know we announced seniors before the team, and then I forget, like, who the seniors are. A complete team. If you look at our poster, every single player is in a purple jersey. There's some underclassmen on there. But once the game starts, I'm not sure who's seniors, who's juniors, who are the sophomores, who are the freshmen. I'm just worried about making sure the mindset's right going into the game. As far as who I thought did have energy, I actually one of them is a junior running back. I thought Isaac White came in and did a very nice job. I thought a senior running back, Cameron Morrison, did a great job. These guys came in, and I don't know what nicknames you want to give our running backs. I know sometimes there's a lightning and fire or lightning and thunder or whatever. It is a stable of running backs. I don't know. I talked to our offensive coordinator, Kayla Swan, and Coach Ferris, these guys, like Coach Brown. I talked to them about how I had to prepare for these guys on the other side as the defensive coordinator. Man, would this defense or offense be tough to prepare for. Like with Thomas, with that backfield, and in the past, there are times that there are teams that have running backs that I don't care who's back there. They're non-existent to me as far as the perimeter of the receivers. I would have to focus in and dial in on these running backs. And we have a stable of running backs that are ripping off chunks of carries. And obviously when that happens, you know that there's going to be some holes somewhere. And our offensive line has been there's sometimes there are mauling people that I really like, and I really like to see that. So as far as the those seniors, that was more of a presentation of like, here is your senior class for the year. We have 6 home games, so enjoy, saddle up, and make sure we get to enjoy some home crowds here this season.
So, Coach, towards the end of the game, your backups got some good reps. You know, how important is it for those backups to get the reps, and who kind of stood out from the backups that got good reps on Friday?
And a good question with might be a backup by like on a depth chart, but we have a 1B quarterback, like where Isaiah came in and he came in on fire. Yes, we have a 1 and a 2, and Thomas is we were moving the ball great with Thomas at quarterback, and he adds another element with his legs. But Isaiah came in, and then Javier Horton at receiver, he is a secret weapon that I kept going around at one of the indoor practices. Like, you know, went by both wide receiver coaches just to get confirmation, like, hey, you guys realize that this might be his last Saturday game this next weekend. And he threw a touchdown pass on Saturday, too, to Isaiah, which was great. We did a Philly special. First time I've seen it to the left side, but we did that for the first touchdown of the game. But Isaiah came in and did a nice job. He went 5 for 6. Javier Horton had 3 catches for, I believe, 51 yards. He had 2 unbelievable catches on the sideline. He reminds me of a foreign player. Not trying to quite say it yet. Like, I want to see a few more games from him. But I brought the name up to him in the weight room today. He wasn't familiar with that player, so he's got to go back and do his homework first before I actually compare him to that former player. But he has a nice composure to him at receiver for a sophomore.
Well, it was a great game against Avon right there, against the Orioles. We're going to take a quick 30-second break here on Inside Ben Davis Football.
Thanks to Chuck Bear Carpenter Realtors for his support. Chuck Bear with Carpenter Realtors offers services such as analysis of your home's value, a marketing plan, and knowledge of the market. Serving central Indiana counties, Chuck Bear Carpenter Realtors can be reached at 317-698-3339. online at chuckbear.callcarpenter.com. Thank you to Chuck Bear Carpenter Realtors for their support.
Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor.
We're back here on Inside Ben Davis Football. Here I'm here with head coach Russ Mann and my co-host Garrett Burkle. Coach, so we're coming into this second half of the show, and you know we always talk about the next up-and-coming preparing game, which is against Pike, which is our big rivalry here at Ben Davis. So how do you guys feel on this one?
I understand there's a lot of rivalries, and I gotta figure it out as I learn a new township. I try not to think of any game any more important than the other. I'm making sure that we – I know that's kind of – that's what I just said was cliche, and I don't like to go down that cliche alley. But really, I don't want to do the, like, focus on ourselves. But there are certain mindsets that we have going into our games. There's certain things and things that we want to do at the beginning of games, and it doesn't matter which is our opponent, like whomever is our opponent. We don't care about that. If it's a big game, if our rival, if it's in the conference, on the conference, in the sectional, on the state, doesn't matter. These are the things that we have mindset wise that we've developed in this offseason. And so I have realized that Pike and Ben Davis have a rivalry. I do realize that there's maybe some more emotion that I got to watch for some players to make sure that they're not getting too hyped up for the game. But we have got to make sure we jump out to the same mindset that we had in the Moeller game, same mindset we had in the Avon game, make sure that we do this at the beginning of our game so we don't worry about the who the opponent is, and maybe we could hit the task that we have going into each game.
Coach, Mike Brevard, head coach of the Red Devils, is a Ben Davis alum and legend here. Do you have any prior experience with him, and how will emotions be on both sides of the game?
Yeah, I'm actually going to probably text him that you called him legend here in just a second after the show. I might even call him on the way home. Mike Brevard is somebody I've just recently grown a strong friendship with. We met this December. I filled in for Coach Simmons at a dinner and the Big Ten Championship. I think that was December, yeah. The Big Ten Championship, and Coach Brevard and I sat next to each other at dinner. And since then, we have developed a pretty strong friendship. We text each other constantly. We send about one-minute videos to each other because we understand the other one's pretty busy, so we will send it, like, I guess there would be, like, little Snapchats, but we just do them with recorded videos. But we have great conversations. We went to the rules meeting together. We the whole ride back from Warsaw, Indiana, we were on the phone the whole time. So legend it is for sure. We talk about, we joke around about our old playing days and him being up at Fort Wayne a lot. It'll be fun. It already has been. We started texting last Friday and having some pretty good banter about it. So it is it's a strong friendship. I really like I like Mike Brevard a lot.
Coach, we've seen Pike not off to a great start. They're 0-2. I know records don't matter, but it's all about what's going on that night. Even so far, they lost to Zionsville 24-21, close game. And then coming up to Fishers last Friday, they got blown out 40-0. Now, we've seen they don't really have a strong passing game, but the run game is pretty excellent, but it's not as far for them to exceed to get wins. So what could be a little bit of a game strategy that you want to force Pike on to do to see your boys win for that night?
Well, the Zionsville game, is that's actually one of the videos that Coach Brevard and I sent to each other on Saturday afternoon. As my wife and I were walking down into dinner, we were recapping the game, and they had opportunities to win that game and then opportunities to go up multiple scores late. And they could be 1-1, and they could have gone on the road and won a big one at Zionsville. And then what happened against Fishers, and Fishers kind of stole one of the things that we like to do, is make sure you jumping out. Like, when you jump out early, jump out hot, jump out, like, put teams away. Now, there'll be people on the other sideline that won't say the words "I quit," or like they won't like verbalize it, but you could read it in their body language, and or they have actually tapped down on their team. So you're playing a bunch of 16, 17, 18 year olds, and if you go up on them 21-0, they may not say it, but they have made a business decision that this weekend is over, and it's on the adults if they put those kids back in. That kid's actually already quit. You don't know it. So Fishers did that. Fisher's jumped down on Pike a little bit here, but you can't sleep on him. I know they might not have a passing game, but Juju is dangerous back there. Their quarterback, we are defensively making sure we respect that passing game and respect him and back in the pocket. Him dropping back is scary. If they're calling a pass play makes it scary. So, like, yeah, for sure. It may not be the numbers pass-wise, but, yeah, they're still – when they call a pass play, oh, yeah, it's going to be exciting.
Now, Coach, kind of a follow-up question to the statement on Juju. You know, the Ben Davis Giants – or Juju is a former Giant. Does that add any motivation, you know, on Friday? And then also Juju will be the first true dual-threat quarterback you faced all year. So how does your defense kind of plan for him?
The question is great, where if it does hype up with a former player, then shame on us. Like, if a specific game is more important than another one, shame on us. Like, each one should be building up a little bit more and more. Each one should be prepared. Like, I wanted that Moeller game to be prepared, just like it were going to Lucas Oil or going to a road trip semi-state-wise. I did not want it to be like where it was going to be positive circumstance where all of a sudden we're doing things for that game that we're not going to do for the LCLN game. I want to treat every road trip the same. I want to treat the LCLN road trip. Are they going to be the same as the ones in the playoffs, same as the one in Lucas? With Juju, is going to be just the same as every other quarterback. Yeah, we know his name and we know how electric he is. And preparing for him, we have two quarterbacks right now taking the scout team reps. One, Jamel Stevens, who might be identical to him right now. Like, and he's a running back. He's a sophomore running back who ripped off a nice 65-yard touchdown run against Avon on Saturday. And he is shaking some of the varsity defense, getting them ready, making sure that our any type of scramble drill is set up. And he's allowed to throw it whenever he wants to. So when he's not taking the reps, Kylan Higgins is doing it. And we have two sophomores who are very athletic. Kyler's a very athletic quarterback and corner for us and on our basketball team. And Jamel is doing a nice job, about the same size, same speed as Juju. And he's trying his best to replicate what we're going to see on Friday night.
Coach, I want to go on and talk about a bit about last name and then coming on to this game, So I seen from last game against Avon, you guys really didn't want to run the Wildcat formation as much as you did in the Moeller game. So I wonder what was going on like with that, because honestly, when you guys run the Wildcat formation, it's like you guys get big gains and big yards off that. But for some reason, the Avon, we've seen it less. Are we going to see it more coming on to this Pike game? Excuse me.
It just depends on what we need. Like for the Moeller game, there wasn't a huge adjustment to it when we were. It was like as if they weren't prepared for it and they weren't putting another man in the box for it. I know when I've had to prepare for Wildcat personnel in the past, I might as well just that guy's keeping the ball. And once we start to do other phases of our Wildcat that we have going in, it will give it even more dangerous stuff. But there's an extra blocker back there. It's basically just obviously a running quarterback. But when we start pitching it out to Tommy, like that will make teams have to honor him getting that pitch. And then if he's on there, you know, gets that pitch, he can also throw the ball. So there's other things that we can add to it. There's other chapters to it. And there's also some of the other athletes that we are putting on the field, some other two-way players that we have coming into the field. They're eligible receivers. So there's a lot of different dynamics that we have that could be different pages we have added to it. But for right now, what teams should do is, like, just like I would do on as a defensive coordinator, is that's a running back getting the ball with an extra blocker. Might want to put an extra defender in our box to make sure we stop the run.
And we also saw that night you guys put in Drew Evans and Nyland Brown on one play. What was that? When did that play come up? Because we like the
shout
of that one.
Oh, they do, too. They like it a lot themselves, too. And that Drew Evans got the interception. Former head coach Jason Simmons made sure that he texted Drew about, hey, now that you are also on the offensive side, you might as well make sure you're going out for a pass as well, too. So now we've had to hear from number 12 about going out for passes. Coach Simmons sending him that little alley-oop. But, yeah, when you there's some juice to it. I know that there are some guys on our offensive side that could do it at themselves, but when you have a package like that everybody's believing in, when we call for it, we call for it. It's truck personnel. and we'll call for our truck personnel. Here they come. And you might know what we're doing, but these are guys that can also go off for passes. They can make blocks. They take a lot of pride in coming over to the offensive side of the ball. You can just see the grins on their face. They're throwing their helmets on. They're excited. I know that some of the other programs have done in the past. When you do that, I know LN had a package like that 2 years ago, that when these guys came off the bench, they were electric. They were excited to be – the defense guys were excited to be on that offensive side of the ball. So, yeah, Drew and Nylon take a lot of pride in coming over as a little Bash brothers.
Coach, how excited are you and the team, you know, kind of get to make play?
Correct, yeah. This would be starting the next season. Great question, and I've tried to hesitate on not – downplaying the conference at all, but there's only one championship I'm really worried about. So yeah, we are going into make play, but there's that championship, but we're not here to collect conference championships. There's a different championship that we have a mindset for. But yes, we're gonna have to go through these guys twice, so we'll probably have to play Pike twice. We will not have to play LN or LC twice. We're only going to have to play one of them twice. Or if Cathedral knocks one of them off, that's going to be a bloodbath in that sectional when all three of those teams are in that sectional. North Central, as they continue to build, they're only going to get stronger as the year goes on. They have Brownsburg's head coach. His son is the new head coach at North Central, and they're going to be a well-coached team and continue to get stronger. So, yeah, we are getting ready to go into MIC play. As you brought that up, as you probably saw my facial expression, like, yeah, you're right, we are going into that. But if everybody wants to fight for the first MIC championship, the second MIC championship is the one that's more fun to win.
Well, Coach, last question of the show today. You know, this is always going to be the final question I'm going to ask you every week. And what's going to be the key to the matchups?
Well, the key to the matchups, the first part is hit our mindset of we want to make sure we start off strong. There are five factors that I keep an eye on going into games. I don't really tell the players about these five factors, but there are five factors that we have as a coaching staff that we kind of talk about every Sunday. And so far, against Mueller, we won all five of the factors. Against Avon, we won four of them. One of them, that final punt, and then the Avon getting that kickoff that went off one of our front wall guys' elbow. That helped Avon win one of the five factors. So far, we have won 9 of the 10 factors so far, you know, with 2 of the games. Not playing the cards of what they are, but making sure that it goes alongside with the mindset of how we want to start the games off. And the matchups, we have complemented each other very nice offensively and defensively. If we could do that one more time where all three phases come off hot, making sure that they win that first quarter. The matchups will hopefully lead to a 3-0 start for the season.
Well, Coach, thank you, Will, for being here. But I also just got one more just before I wrap it up. You know, you talked about on week one, I believe, like, you really don't care about the calls, like, or anything, or what the ref calls and what the ref doesn't. But last week, we seen you got a little frustrated on that pass interference call. I think it was about Avon was on you guys like around 48, 38, I believe, and you got a little bit of frustrated because it was a bit of a trip up, and you got a little bit of frustrated right there.
And it's not, actually, as I presented to the referee, like that, the official on our sideline just said something along the lines of you're allowed, like they were all looking at the ball, and they all got tripped up on each other, and I actually got tripped up on the referee as that happened, and I said, just like this, like I literally just stepped on your foot. That's the exact same thing as just happened out there. So, like, the staff did a nice job. The staff did, like, the referee crew did a nice job. They had 4 of their 5 guys. The 5th guy that was throwing some of the flags was not somebody that was a part of their team. They had an illness, just like what we would have an illness. They had a COVID sickness. Both games, both crews, I thought I've done a nice job. Like, I really do. And I usually... those that complain about calls are already down 14-0. And if you got to beg another man for help, then you better just coach harder during the week. So I don't sit there like and cry for calls and beg for calls, because then why not coach up like your guys ready for like what could potentially be a call during the game or not a call during the game. So if that's something that you want to, that those that tend to whine the most are already down 14-0. So that one, I just I thought we got tripped up a little bit, and I actually got tripped up on the referee. So I was like, hey, just exactly what happened here. So Football Gods, he laughed that one off and then shared the news that that was a replacement, and the other guy was like, that will be back later, as was out for COVID.
And what do you say about Purple Rain, Coach, man?
I love it. Like, I do. I love during the turnovers, and we're actually we're going to spice up the music even more and more as the season goes on. When the turnovers happen, we are downloading a song that we'll be playing when the turnovers happen. So we are going to the Purple Rain, have as much fun at the games as possible. Keep coming out, keep getting hyped up. The music's going to be playing more and more every week. So have fun with these Friday night games.
Well, this has been Inside Ben Davis Football here with Elijah Ennis, with our common guest, Coach Man, and co-host Garrett Burkle. We'll be back this Friday on Inside Ben Davis Football with the game this weekend when Ben Davis Giants take on the Pike Devils at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock. And it'll be me and Garrett Broker on the mic calling that night. This is here Inside Ben Davis Football here with Elijah Ennis, Coach Man, and Garrett Broker. And I hope you ladies and gentlemen have a good night.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.